Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levin.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin, reporting live. I don't know how much you watched of the hearings yesterday of the Attorney General of the United States, William Barr, but I have some stark words for you, for the Attorney General, and for the nation. The Attorney General is a crook. He needs to go to jail. He lied to Congress. He needs to be soon held in contempt of Congress. And then, if he doesn't present himself to be held by the sergeant at arms of the House, then he needs to be impeached and removed from office. Let me be the first to say so. If he ignores the contempt of Congress that I think is coming at him on Monday, he needs to be impeached. Then we can have a nice trial in the Senate, and even if he's not removed, all of America can be transfixed by the crimes that the top law enforcement officer of the United States is doing right now. All right, let's figure it all out here. I'm going to do that. I'm told that my microphone is a little hot, so excuse me as I fix some settings here. Let's see. I hope we're better now. Okay. So what we have here is the Attorney General of the United States refusing to obey the law. What is he refusing to obey? Well, first of all, there's a hearing today before the House Judiciary Committee. This was not an optional hearing. This was not a, hey, could you show up, please, at our invitation? The Attorney General was subpoenaed by the House Judiciary Committee. And when you're subpoenaed by Congress, you must attend, just like when you're subpoenaed by a court. If you're subpoenaed by a court and you do not attend, an arrest warrant is issued. Did you know that? Subpoenas are mandatory. That's why if you even get as little as a speeding ticket and you sign the summons saying you're promised to show up, or sometimes you don't get a choice. Sometimes they just order you to show up. You'd better show, or a bench warrant is issued. A bench warrant is a warrant issued by the court, which has enforcement authority, to order you to be picked up and brought to court. That's how arrest warrants often are issued. Congress itself has the power to issue an arrest warrant, and it can do so after holding the Attorney General in contempt. Now, there are a couple of reasons to hold him in contempt. One is for refusing to testify. That'll do it. One is for refusing to turn over the unredacted Mueller report. The Attorney General doesn't get to decide what Congress gets to see. Congress has plenary oversight authority. We have three equal branches of government: the executive, the legislative, and the judiciary. The executive branch, contrary to what Donald Trump believes, is not above the law. The president is not above the law. Believe it or not, there's a constitution of the United States that trumps even Trump. We do not have a dictatorship yet in America. And that means that the attorney general, like everyone else in America, must comply with the congressional subpoena. Now, they're giving him a couple more days, maybe to reconsider. One of the things he didn't want to do is he didn't want to be cross-examined by professional attorneys. I'm not quite sure why not. Every other defendant in America has to be cross-examined if they take the stand by congressional attorneys. He is allowed to plead the Fifth. I'll give him that. If the Attorney General believes that anything he says will incriminate him personally and will end him up in jail, he can raise his right hand and plead the Fifth Amendment and say, I cannot tell you the truth because if I do so, I will incriminate myself or the President of the United States, and I don't care to throw both of us in jail, so I refuse to testify. Although, interestingly, actually, he could be forced to incriminate the President. He cannot be forced to incriminate himself. Let me play for you some of what the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, whom I know personally, Jerry Nadler, said today, along with the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, and even one of my favorite congressmen, Steve Cohen, about Barr's refusal to testify today. Let's play a clip from the New York Times.
Attorney General Barr has informed us that he will not appear today. Although we worked to accommodate his concerns, he objects to the prospect of answering questions by staff counsel and to the possibility that we may go into executive session to discuss certain sensitive topics. Yes, we will continue to negotiate for access to the full report for another couple of days. And yes, we will have no choice but to move quickly to hold the Attorney General in contempt if he stalls or fails to negotiate in good faith.
What is deadly serious about it is the Attorney General of the United States of America was not telling the truth to the Congress of the United States. That's a crime. He lied to Congress. He lied to Congress. If anybody else did that, it would be considered a crime. Nobody is above the law, not the President of the United States and not the Attorney General.
Chicken Barr should have shown up today and answered questions. He was afraid of Barry Burke. He was afraid of Norm Eisen. An attorney general who's picked for his legal acumen and his abilities would not be fearful of any other attorneys questioning him for 30 minutes.
So there you go. What we have here is we have the Speaker of the House, right? The embodiment of the representatives of the American people say emphatically, the Attorney General's a crook. He's a criminal. He lied to Congress. That, by the way, is not a misdemeanor. It's a serious felony that can get you several years in jail, and I think we should prosecute. Now, normally, when you're accused of lying to Congress, the executive branch prosecutes, but we don't trust the executive branch because the executive branch is under investigation. The president might order someone not to investigate him or his attorney general, just as Saddam Hussein or Vladimir Putin would almost certainly order their investigative agencies not to investigate them. That's what dictators do. So if they can't work it out, and if, as I expect Jerry Nadler, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, to hold the Attorney General, William Barr, in contempt on Monday, and then the full House votes to hold him in contempt, as I expect they will do, if they can't work something out, and I hope they can work something out, I really do. And then if the executive branch refuses to prosecute, well, one, they can try to capture him and put him in the House jail, which would be enormously wonderful. Wouldn't that be great? The sergeant-at-arms shows up at his house and takes him to the Capitol and holds him in the basement. Now that would get some news coverage worldwide. The other thing they can and should do is move for impeachment. And I realize that the Republicans are going to defend lying to Congress. They believe in lying to Congress. They don't believe the president's above the law. Let the entire country have a debate. Is the president above the law or is he not? And if the Republicans want to run for re-election on the idea that they want a dictator, then let them make that case to the American people. Let's have a trial. Now, it may not come to that. It may be that they can work something out. I don't think I need to remind you that Christine Blasey Ford, who has none of the legal acumen of the Attorney General of the United States, she's not a lawyer. She's merely someone who was sexually assaulted by a current sitting justice of the Supreme Court, Justice Kavanaugh. The Democrats said, hey, you know, we think that we should be able to ask questions and that the Republicans should be able to ask questions. We think she should be able to handle questions of the members of the committee. Why do you need to hire a professional? But the Republicans said, no, if we ask her questions, given that we're all men, all white men, and given that we're going to accuse her of lying and we're going to be sexist and toward her, people are going to complain if we do that, so we want a professional to do it. And the Democrats said, well, we think that's not a proper role, but you know what? It's your choice. You can have someone step in, and they had a professional prosecutor, you may remember, from Arizona come in and ask Dr. Ford questions. For the Attorney General of the United States to not have the same courage as Dr. Christine Blasey Ford to handle legal questions when he's the top law enforcement officer of the United States is pretty damning. It's pretty damning. This woman, who has no claim other than she was sexually assaulted by a sitting Supreme Court justice, has the courage and dignity to face questions from a professional prosecutor. But the top prosecutor in the United States is chicken, as Congressman Steve Cohen so eloquently brought out with his little, he actually brought a chicken to the stage. It's more than that, though. It's lawless. He has no right not to come. And it's time for the House to start enforcing the law. And whether that means locking Attorney General Barr up or impeaching him or both, I think you think both would be the right maneuver. They need to move forward. I can't recall a Speaker of the House ever saying that an Attorney General had lied to Congress before. The only example I know of in American history is John Dean, the Attorney General for Richard Nixon, who was caught in a lie to Congress and served several years in prison, even after turning state's evidence against the President of the United States. So that's where we begin today. And now I want to move on and, one more thing. Before I get to clips, and I'm going to get to clips from what Barr said yesterday in response to blistering questions, and I just got to give a lot of credit to Kamala Harris, to Mazie Hirono, to Blumenthal, to Senator Pat Leahy. They all asked really terrific questions. It was absolutely necessary. But first, we have to understand what he lied about. What is it that Attorney General Barr lied to Congress about? Because it's one thing not to show up, that's bad. But lying to Congress is worse than simply avoiding a subpoena. Usually if you avoid a subpoena, they kind of lock you up until you obey. But lying to Congress can get you several years in prison. What did Barr lie to Congress about? He lied to Congress about Robert Mueller. You see, as you recall, after Robert Mueller, the special prosecutor, delivered a 448-page report. By the way, I'm a little hoarse today, so if my voice sounds a little weird, I apologize. When he sent the 448-page report to Bill Barr, Barr decided not to release it, but to release his own created four-page summary. Now, Mueller, in his report, and this is, by the way, in a letter from Mueller to Barr, dated March 27th, 2 days after the report was released, the same day that Barr is releasing his, quote, summary, unquote, Mueller sends him a letter. And in that letter, he's not happy. And I'm going to read to you that letter, or at least the salient parts of it, right after the break. You can call it at 888-48-MARK, 888-486-2275. I'll be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. When the Attorney General, the top law enforcement officer of the United States, lies to Congress, it's a very serious event. After all, the Attorney General is not the lawyer for the President. Even Barr admitted that in his confirmation hearing. It's not his job to protect the president. In fact, it's his job to prosecute the president, notwithstanding the fact that the president hires him. It's his job to prosecute the president when the president breaks the law. He is the nation's top law enforcement official. And the only people who oversee him are the president and Congress. That's it. And when the president's corrupt and the attorney general is corrupt, only Congress can oversee him, with hopefully a little bit of help from the courts. What did Attorney General Barr lie to Congress? Well, we know that Robert Mueller, because we have a copy of the letter now, which you can read in the Washington Post and elsewhere, it's been released. Not clear who released it. Maybe it was leaked. Good for the Fourth Estate. Good for Mueller, by the way. He writes in his letter of March 27th that he previously sent Barr a letter 2 days earlier on March 25th. In that letter, it was the introduction and executive summary for every volume of the special counsel's report. And even in his original summary, Mueller summary, it's redacted to remove anything that could interfere with future criminal prosecutions, as it should be. We still have not seen the Mueller summary. Mueller sent it to Barr. Barr, so far, has refused to release what Mueller wrote about his own report. Surely Mueller knows what's in his report better than anyone. He spent 2 years crafting it. Mueller writes to Barr again more than a month ago on March 27th, quote, "Accordingly, the enclosed documents are in a form that can be released to the public consistent with legal requirements and department policies. I am requesting that you provide these materials to Congress and authorize their public release at this time." And Barr said, "No, I will not release the Mueller executive summary of the Mueller report to Congress. I will not release Mueller's conclusions to the public. I won't do it. I will cover it up because I know," I'm sure Barr's thinking, "this shows the president is guilty of obstruction of justice. Instead, I will issue my own summary." What does Mueller say about that? Well, it's very clear in his letter. He says, quote, "As we stated in our meeting of March 5th and reiterated to the department early in the afternoon of March 24th, quote, the introductions and executive summaries of our two-volume report accurately summarize this office's work and conclusions. The summary letter the department sent to Congress," Barr's summary, "and released to the public late in the afternoon of March 24th, did not fully capture the context, nature, and substance of this office's work and conclusions. We communicated that concern to the department on the morning of March 25th. The very next morning, Barr releases his false summary. And the next morning, Mueller says that is not the context, that is not the nature, that is not the substance. Mueller writes that there is public confusion now because Barr lied to the American people. And, quote, this threatens to undermine a central purpose for which the department appointed the special counsel, to assure full public confidence in the outcome of the investigations." What Barr lied about is this very letter, just sent a month ago, and we'll explain after the break.
Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. I'm just still, I guess, befuddled. Look, I fully expect Donald Trump to be corrupt. I fully expect him to break the law. I know that he's a grifter, right? Grifter's a wonderful word. It means a petty con man, someone who spent his entire life stealing and committing fraud from others to make himself rich. I mean, that's what a grifter is. I expect that. But William Barr did have a prior history as Attorney General where he had some controversy. But I just was wondering if he was willing to throw away his reputation, throw away everything he stood for in order to sacrifice himself for this president. Well, clearly he was. You may recall that William Barr actually wrote an unsolicited letter to Donald Trump. Donald Trump probably did not know he existed. Listen, Donald Trump probably couldn't tell you all the 50 states. But Barr wrote him and said, hey, I happen to think that presidents can't obstruct justice. I think presidents are above the law. I think presidents can never do anything wrong and certainly cannot obstruct their own investigations. I mean, Putin can't. Saddam Hussein can't. Trump can't. That's, in essence, what his letter said. Maybe not as fulsomely put as I just did. But that was the heart of his argument, that presidents cannot obstruct justice. Basically, it's what Richard Nixon said in the Frost-Nixon interviews 30 years ago when he said, if the president does it, it's not against the law. So he was chosen, no doubt, because of his unsolicited letter. And he put forward a false depiction of the Mueller report that, in hindsight, I can't believe the entire news fell for. I mean, even people I love, like Stephen Colbert, were like, well, you know, maybe there was no collusion. But it was all false. It was all a lie. How can we believe in a man or an administration that has given us more than 10,000 lies? You may have heard that. The Washington Post just documented 10,000 lies by Donald Trump. And that's a lot. The president's been in office about 800 days, give or take, a little more than 2 years. So doing the math, it means that every single day Donald Trump has been in office, he's averaged about 12 lies. And apparently it's gotten worse. So lately we're doing 15, 20 lies a day. I don't know that I make 20 statements a day, much less make 20 lies in a day. And he's doing it each day, every day. So I don't know why the media believed Bill Barr's false summary. But it's clear from this letter that Mueller was very unhappy. He says in this letter, Attorney General, your statement was false. It did not summarize the work of the Mueller's office. It's wrong in its context. It's wrong in its nature. It's wrong in its substance. Here, I have the proper summaries. I gave them to you. I gave them to you weeks ago. They've all been properly redacted. They're all ready to be released. Release them now, please. And Barr says, no, not going to release them. And Mueller says, this is undermining the whole purpose of the investigation, which is to assure public confidence. It's the reason we have special prosecutors. And Barr says, well, F you, right? I don't have to do anything proper. Okay. That's what happened in March. We didn't know about it. It all happened behind the scenes. Then Mueller's people do something they never did before. They start to leak to the press. You may remember for the last 2 years, Donald Trump's administration leaked every day. Every day, someone was leaking to someone. And they were pointing fingers and their books being published. And everyone's talking about everyone. Steve Bannon's talking about Jared Kushner and vice versa. Just everybody. Robert Mueller never leaked a bit. Finally, recognizing that democracy is at stake and maybe remembering what the FBI director Mark Felt did during Watergate, which was leak to Woodward and Bernstein. That was deep throat, we finally learn, decades later. They start leaking. No. If you're not going to disclose our letter, we're going to let the press and the American people know that you have lied with your summary. And they start telling people, hey, there were proper summaries that Barr won't release. So then what happens? Then Barr goes, this is before the hearing yesterday. Barr goes before the Senate and they ask him questions under oath and they say, hey, did Mueller agree with your summary? And he's like, yeah, sure. No problem. They're like, they think the question was specifically, did you know, there have been press reports that Mueller's team is unhappy. Leaked press reports. Is that true? Are they unhappy? No, not particularly. I'm unaware of any unhappiness. Well, that is a flat out lie under oath. Because he had the letter from Mueller saying he was unhappy. Saying that Mueller did not agree with the conclusions. And yet he lied to Congress when he said, you know, I don't know of any problem. And he did it crazy. He had to know it was come out. He would come out. I guess he wanted a month to solidify in the public opinion that Donald Trump hadn't done anything wrong. He wanted that solidified and was willing to lie to Congress about it, even though he had a letter from Robert Mueller saying, hey, you didn't tell the truth in your summary. And he was asked a simple question. Did Mueller's team agree with your characterizations? And he's like, you know, I don't have any problem with it. We'll have to find that clip and play it after the next break. In the meantime, I want to play for you Senator Mazie Hirono of Hawaii, one of my heroes. There are lots of them. Kamala Harris was fantastic. But Mazie Hirono has no fear in laying out all the things that Bill Barr has done wrong. Let's play the clip.
Anybody see my pants?
Number one stain and odor fighter.
So you know, you told Grifter and Lye and Conway, know that you are no different from Rudy Giuliani or Kellyanne Conway or any of the other people who sacrificed their once decent reputation for the grifter and liar who sits in the Oval Office. You once turned down a job offer from Donald Trump to represent him as his private attorney. At your confirmation hearing, you told Senator Feinstein that, quote, the job of attorney general is not the same as representing, end quote, the president. So you know the difference, but you've chosen to be the president's lawyer and side with him over the interests of the American people. To start with, you should never have been involved in supervising the Robert Mueller investigation. You wrote a 19-page unsolicited memo, which you admit was not based on any facts, attacking the premise of half of the investigation. And you also should have insisted that Deputy Attorney General Rob Rosenstein recuse himself. He wasn't just a witness to some of the president's obstructive behavior. We now know he was in frequent personal contact with the president, a subject of the investigation. You should have left it to career officials. Then, once the report was delivered by the special counsel, you delayed its release for more than 2 weeks. You let the president's personal lawyers look at it before you even deigned to let Congress or the public see it. During the time you substituted your own political judgment for the special counsel's legal conclusions in a four-page letter to Congress. And now we know, thanks to a free press, that Mr. Mueller wrote your letter objecting to your so-called summary. When you called Mueller to discuss his letter, the reports are that he thought your summary was giving the press, Congress, and the public a misleading impression of his work. He asked you to release the report summaries to correct the misimpression you created, but you refused. When you finally did decide to release the report over a congressional recess and on the eve of two major religious holidays, you called a press conference to once again try to clear Donald Trump before anyone had a chance to read the special counsel's report and come to their own conclusions. But when we read the report, we knew Robert Mueller's concerns were valid, and that your version of events was false. You used every advantage of your office to create the impression that the president was cleared of misconduct. You selectively quoted fragments from the special counsel's report, taking some of the most important statements out of context and ignoring the rest. You put the power and authority of the Office of the Attorney General and the Department of Justice behind a public relations effort to help Donald Trump protect himself. Finally, you lied to Congress. You told Representative Charlie Crist that you didn't know what objections Mueller's team might have to your March 24th so-called summary. You told Senator Chris Van Hollen that you didn't know if Bob Mueller supported your conclusions. But you knew. You lied. And now we know. A lot of respected nonpartisan legal experts and elected officials were surprised by your efforts to protect the president. But I wasn't surprised. You did exactly what I thought you'd do. It's why I voted against your confirmation. I expected you would try to protect the president, and indeed you did. In 1989, this isn't something you hadn't done
Senator
before.
So Senator Hirono is making clear that he lied, and that's why she didn't vote for him, because she expected him to lie. When we come back from break, I want to play for you his lie to Congress. I've read to you the Mueller letter. I've let you know how unhappy Mueller was that Barr lied to the American people. And now, when we come back, I'm going to play for you Barr's lie to Congress, the one that I want to see him serve time in prison for. We'll be right back after this. back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, talking about the Attorney General of the United States, who has committed the crime of lying to Congress. And whether or not he'll be held in contempt or be impeached or go to jail remains to be seen. But it's important to know exactly what he lied about. We spent the whole first part of the broadcast reading the Mueller letter, explaining how Robert Mueller was incensed that Bill Barr would lie to the American people about what's in his report, saying, I have all these summaries, use the summaries, and we had Barr refusing. Well, he was asked under oath, right when this happened, a month ago, by Congressman Charlie Crist, hey, we've been reading these press reports. Mueller's never leaked before. He's leaking now, saying how unhappy he is. Is there any truth to these? Now, remember, when Barr answers these questions, he's got the letter in his hot hand. Listen to how he responds to Congressman Crist.
Reports have emerged recently, General, that members of the special counsel's team are frustrated at some level with the limited information included in your March 24th letter, that it does not adequately or accurately necessarily portray the report's findings. Do you know what they're referencing with that?
No, I don't. I suspect that they probably wanted, you know, more put out, but
you suspect you have the letter.
In my view, I was not interested in putting out summaries or trying to summarize, because I think any summary, regardless of who prepares it, not only runs the risk of, you know, being under-inclusive or over-inclusive, but also, you know, would trigger a lot of discussion and analysis that really should await everything coming out at once. So I was not interested in a summary.
Okay. Look. Do you know why Mueller's upset? No, got no idea. No, I don't know. He said no. He knows he has the letter. He suspects they want more out. He doesn't suspect. He knows they want more out. He knows they want their summary. But he says maybe they want some summary out, but all summaries are bad. Well, if all summaries are bad, Barr, why'd you put one out at all? And executive summaries by the people who make reports aren't bad at all. Have you ever read a peer-reviewed medical article? They have the summary right at the top. Any report. I worked in Congress. Congressional reports, legislative reports often have summaries. But he didn't say, Mueller wants me to put out Mueller's summary and I refused. That would have been the truth. He claimed he did not know. And in that way, he lied to Congress. Senator Blumenthal hammered him on that yesterday.
It was an extraordinary act. A career prosecutor rebuking the Attorney General of the United States, memorializing in writing, right? I know of no other instance of that happening. Do you?
I don't consider Bob at this stage a career prosecutor. He's had a career as a prosecutor.
Well, he was a very eminent
prosecutor. He was the head of the FBI for 12 years.
He's a career.
He's had
law enforcement career, yeah. Professional.
Talk about quibbling.
Right.
I know of no other instance of...
But he was also a political appointee, and he was a political appointee with me at the Department of Justice. The letter's a bit snitty, and I think it was probably written by one of his staff people.
Did anyone, either you or anyone on your staff, memorialize your conversation with Robert Mueller?
Yes.
Who did that?
There were notes taken of the call.
May we have those notes?
No.
Why not?
Why should you have them?
I'll tell you, we got to end this, but I'm going to write a letter to Mr. Mueller, and I'm going to ask him, is there anything you said about that conversation he disagrees with? And if there is, he can come and tell us.
Right.
So the hearing is now over.
Wow. Are you going to tell the American people why the special prosecutor who spent 2 years on this was upset with you for lying to the American people? No. Did you hear how cavalierly he said that? No. Did you take notes? Oh, sure, we have notes. Will you disclose them? No. Why should I? Why should I respect Congress's right to oversight? It's only under the Constitution. It's only existed since America's foundation. It's only the only check and balance we have over whether or not the President of the United States is or is not above the law. No. No, I don't care to obey the law. I don't care to respect the American people. I'll tell you when this will end. Well, I don't know that it'll end. But the next step, obviously, is to call Robert Mueller to the stand. To bring him before Congress. In what I hope are the most watched televised hearings in American history. Robert Mueller needs to tell us about that conversation. Because when the Attorney General of the United States obstructs justice in a report about the president obstructing justice, where he and the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, are deciding together the president did obstruct justice, even though Rod Rosenstein was a witness to the president's obstruction. Are you following me? It gets a little confusing here. We don't have a lot of time, but I want to play for you just a little bit of what Senator Kamala Harris was challenging Barr about, because it leads exactly to this conclusion. Let's play it.
Attorney General Barr, has the president or anyone at the White House ever asked or suggested that you open an investigation of anyone? Yes or no?
Could you repeat that question?
I will repeat it.
Yeah.
Has the president or anyone at the White House ever asked or suggested that you open an investigation of anyone? Yes or no, please, sir?
The president or anybody else.
Seems you would remember something like that and be able to tell us.
Yeah, but I'm trying to grapple with the word suggest. I mean, there have been discussions of matters out there that they have not asked me to open an investigation, but...
Perhaps they've suggested?
I don't know. I wouldn't say suggest.
Hinted?
I don't know.
Inferred? You don't know. Okay. In your March 24th summary, you wrote that, quote, after reviewing the special counsel's final report, Deputy Attorney General Rosenstein and I have concluded that the evidence is not sufficient to establish that the president committed an obstruction of justice offense. Now, the special counsel's investigation produced a great deal of evidence. I'm led to believe it included witnesses' notes and emails, witnesses' congressional testimony, witnesses' interviews, which were summarized in the FBI 302 forms, former FBI Director Comey's memos, and the president's public statements. My question is, in reaching your conclusion, did you personally review all of the underlying evidence?
No, we took... And
Mr. Rosenstein?
No, we accepted the statements in the report as factual record.
Stop it right there. So, what did Rosenstein just, and what did Barr just say? He just said that he didn't review the underlying evidence. He trusted Mueller to get the evidence right. But he didn't trust Mueller to summarize his own evidence. What you think about that? He's like, no, we didn't look at the underlying evidence. We sure Mueller got his facts right. But we did not allow Mueller to tell the American people his facts. We put forward our summary of facts, even though we didn't know the facts. We didn't look at the evidence. We have no idea what the evidence is, except, of course, for Rod Rosenstein, who was a witness to the evidence. Later on, we don't have enough time to play it. Senator Harris points out how... Rosenstein can't be a witness and charge obstruction. But also listen to that first question. Did the president suggest, infer that anyone should be prosecuted? He's not supposed to do that. Why did Barr have so much trouble answering that question? This is Mark Levine signing off.